Baseball.
Ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for.
This is Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. On the Sportsnet Radio Network.
All right, in honor of the Toronto Blue Jays, I'm going to try to get through this show only making three errors in the first segment.
Good luck.
And then we'll see if I can get benched.
Happy Thursday, everybody.
Happy Thursday. 590-590, the text line is open. Questions, rants, comments, suggestions, predictions. Questions about the Bundesliga.
How many fire Charlies you think they're going to be?
No fire Charlies.
No?
No, the Jays are in a playoff. The Jays are what? They're a game back of the Yankees. Game back of the Yankees.
Yankees in trouble.
I want you to repeat, by the way, before we deal with last night's 2-1
Brian win. Brian Cashman punted?
The other thing you said after that.
Oh, the Rays are good?
Could you repeat what you said exactly?
Well, the Rays are good.
Could you repeat, for those of you who, Barker's been on me because I predicted the Rays were going to win the World Series.
Every single year that I've known you.
I've only done it twice.
Sooner or later, you're going to get it right.
What did you say about the Rays again?
That they're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, whopping 35 games worth of good.
Well.
Yeah, anyhow. They look. As much as I hate to say this, they do everything right.
Go, Rays, go!
They do. They and it's rare that you see them beat themselves.
Raise up, man. Raise up.
I mean, you know, and I said this, if you don't run the bases right, if you don't throw a lot of strike ones, if you don't catch the ball when you should catch it, you're not on that team.
As we mentioned, the Jays 2-1 winners. Doug from Oakville. Hey, Kevin and Jeff.
Hey, Doug.
If VR was your teammate, what would you have said to him last night after his three blunders? It's clear Charlie's style is not to have the player ride the pine for the rest of the game. Well,
man, it's 25 games left. You can't do that.
Yeah, and that doesn't... But, benching a guy doesn't... People got to understand this. You bench a veteran player. The veteran player knows he did wrong.
Yeah.
Jonathan VR isn't going to sit in the bench and go, man, that's the last time I make a mistake. Ho! You know,
but it's funny that when they had first and third and Teoscar ran to second and they put a pickoff play to third, it's almost like they knew that he might not have been paying attention.
They've
seen it before.
What I might do is go up to Jonathan and say, hey, see that team on the other side of the field? You're not playing for them anymore. You know?
Yeah.
You're not playing for them anymore. Where you're sitting?
If it was just one guy.
Yeah,
maybe you could do that, but it's a
DNA.
It's a lot of the main guys on your team who are making these mistakes.
It's a sloppy
team.
They're
just not a very good team right now when it comes to fundamentals and, you know, benching them with 25 games left when you're in a playoff spot.
Yeah,
and that's one of your key guys.
No,
me personally, I think he missed the boat. I said this to you before. When Rowdy Tellez put his head down and ran from first base, that'd have been a good time right there to send a message that's not where we're going to do it. It's not the Blue Jay way.
Yeah.
He missed the boat when he didn't do that. In my mind, now you move on. Now maybe you run the bases a little bit more in batting practice. Maybe you do that. Maybe you have a coach go, hey, you know, let's think about what we do before we actually do it. Maybe you do that a little.
I also feel that we should mention, and for those of you who aren't, I mean, the errors last night were Gurriel.
Those are physical errors. The Gurriel one that VR error made the throwing error.
Yeah, the Gurriel error was,
you know,
we
the worst thing that he didn't slide.
Yeah,
into first. If he slides head first, maybe he's got a chance of getting back. That ball is a little bit tougher to read.
Well, you made the point. You've been in that position.
It's a tough one. You get in between there. You know, you don't run right away because it's real hard to tail distance away from the catcher. And then when you do take off, sometimes it's a little too late. So that's a little bit understandable. I'd like to see him slide into first.
Correct. But let me ask
that
you this.
That would have been nice.
If the Jays hadn't been playing bonehead baseball for three games, no one would have said anything about that Gurriel mistake. We would have just gone, well, that happens. Because if you watch baseball, you see it happens. But I think because of all the other stuff that's going on, you know, that obviously that stands out. But I want to say this. I got to say this too, because we aren't around the team. There are no writers who have access to the players other than on Zoom calls.
Yeah.
I guess you can text them.
Or you can call them on the phone.
We need to remember that just because Charlie doesn't bench a guy Just because he doesn't throw a guy under the bus in the Zoom call with the media doesn't mean that it hasn't been addressed. I feel we need to mention that because at least to the point where we acknowledge the possibility that Charlie went up to one of them at some point and said, that's not how you do. And by the way, he was talking to VR the next inning. If you saw VR was beside Charlie in the dugout for two batters the next inning.
Yeah, maybe so, saying, don't put your head down and run. This is not Little League.
Yeah, but I'm just, again,
which is what he did.
I'm just saying, we don't know. We don't know whether or not, like, we're all sitting here saying, well, Charlie hasn't addressed it. We don't know. He may have addressed it. My guess is I can tell you in at least one case, I know from talking to some, he has addressed it. He called the guy in the office, sat him down, and read him the write-up.
I do know the coaching staff has addressed it multiple times, multiple days a week. They continue to address it.
Yes.
Again, it's very easy to blame a coach. Why is he running? They're not the player. They're not the one running. Like, this is a big league.
It is possible.
This is not double A or A ball.
It's possible that league.
You're supposed to know not to put your head down and keep running until somebody tags you out. You're supposed to know that. And being on third base, not paying attention, putting your whatever that thing is he's putting on when he slides. Yeah.
Sliding.
You should, and again, I jokingly text you and said it's almost like the Marlins knew.
Well, I've seen that before.
Ben Wagner, he doesn't pay attention.
Ben Wagner made the point yesterday about Vladdy Jr. Now, John Birdie, his teammate of Vladdy Jr.'s, and maybe in the back of his mind, he's thinking, this guy gets a little can get a little aggressive lead. I'm going to keep an eye on it, and I'm going to put the play.
Yeah, I would assume we'll never see that again. John Snyder, I know, has addressed and said, hey, you're not the fastest guy on the planet. Yeah. It's okay to be bases loaded, nobody out. Get a shorter lead. Get a bigger secondary lead. And then you won't have to worry about things like this. It's court awareness. You learn, you do it one time, you don't do it again.
VR bothers me just because
he's a veteran guy.
He's a veteran guy. He should know better.
Yes.
Exactly. There's no the physical errors, the defensive errors, they happen. But that getting picked off at third base, it's almost like he thought it was a timeout or between pitches or something. Like it was weird.
I don't know about that.
But I'm saying that's how bad it was.
I really do. I think that's a little bit of who he is. Mm-hmm. He is a little bit of a reckless player.
Well, the guy steals.
He pushes the envelope sometimes when he should not be doing it, like the first hit he had when the ball was hit directly to the left fielder. It's odd.
Let's talk about the pitching again. Really good.
Great.
Really good. Hyunjin Ryu has come as advertised. Both, you made the same point that Buck made during the telecast about you can tell when he's in the sixth inning of a game. You can tell when he's getting tired a little bit, just natural, natural fatigue.
About when you start to see Christmas.
Exactly. Christmas. And Buck was talking about maybe go to the slider more, or through the cutter a little more.
Yeah.
At that point.
That's when the velo really hurts him. He doesn't have that to muscle his way through it.
Right.
He still has to think his way through it. And he's left-handed through 90. Like, everything is, I throw one pitch to set something else
but he's
up.
Mark, he's Mark.
There's only
it's
so
like
many
Mark
times
Burley.
You can do that.
It's like Mark Burley.
It really is. Well, Mark Burley, he threw below hitting speed. That's a difference.
Okay.
But what I'm saying
is the way
you
he...
You have to locate 90. 84,
exactly.
I can miss 84 and get away with it because people don't see that all the time. Mm. You can get away with that. But listen, I personally would love to see him go 8 innings one time. I'd like to see him have some quick innings, have some 9 or 10 pitch innings, right, where he's getting some easy outs.
Well, I got to tell
but
you.
But I think, defense hasn't helped him. And a lot of people, when they see him the first time, they start to go into some two-strike approaches. They start eliminating some lower halves. They start not trying to drive baseball, more that trying to just play pepper with a ball. And that's why you see some foul balls and, some longer at-bats, and that keeps him going later in games. But you can't argue what he's doing. He gives him a chance every single time he goes out on the mound. That's all you can ask.
I think that the other thing you need to keep in mind, too, and this to me is an issue, and Buck has addressed it a lot, the catching. I got to say this right. Look, we're all fans of Danny Jansen.
The person, yeah.
At this point, I think
you have to have it now. I don't think it's
you
a
have
one.
To
I
have,
think you have to
you
have
You have to have Caleb Joseph catch.
I don't know. I haven't really watched him catch, but I would think because he's been around longer.
His reputation is, you
could only have him doing it against that guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's your guy.
Mm-hmm.
Go with him, go through the mental part of it. Think ahead 3 or 4 pitches.
So what are you saying? Just have
him for him. Okay. And then you could have Danny do the other guys.
And you can always and you can catch sell that. And that's not a demotion for Danny. You can just say we're in a 60-game season.
It's a mental break.
It's a mental break.
Maybe you would get more offensive.
Well, I'm wondering about that.
Maybe you would. We don't know until
there's
you try.
A reason they've carried Caleb Joseph all year, and it's not just because he's a good dude. Yeah, you know, there's a reason they've carried him.
Well, you were saying, you know, Clubhouse, he was making him apologize, which is...
Well, that, yeah, now, Shai Davidi, Shai wrote this, and it was, I guess it was Charlie's. I didn't listen to Charlie's Zoom call yesterday. But they have this thing where Caleb Joseph picks the three stars at the end of the game. And, yeah. and according to Shai, he made the guys apologize for the mistakes they made. And I'm sure in a good natured, like not a jackass way, but
we're going to need you to stand up and apologize.
But here's the thing. What did John Schneider call him when we talked to him the other day? He called him the glue that keeps everything together.
Yeah. I guess you got to have that guy, but
well,
I'd like to see him play.
Why isn't he playing?
Yeah. Would you rather see him or?
Yes.
Somebody else.
I'd rather see him than look. If Reese McGuire is not going to give me anything offensively, I'll take Caleb Joseph hitting ninth.
Yeah. What is Reese bringing? That's what you have to ask. You know, is he your backup catcher because he can run into 12 homers? Yeah, probably not. So why is he the backup catcher? Is he a good thrower? Is he going to eliminate a running game? You know, is he a great game caller?
I think in their perfect world, he and Danny complement each other. That only works.
One of them's hitting.
Bingo. That's what I was saying. That
and
only works.
Neither one of them are hitting.
Well, that's. You
know, they're not hitting their weight.
Exactly. But that's my point.
Why not try something different? Listen, that would mean that Ryu would have to, you know, get on the same page with a different catcher when he's been doing pretty good with the one he's got. I know they're shaking off a lot, but he's still going six innings.
Yeah, but my concern is that because of the type of pitcher he is, because he depends a lot on sequencing and rhythm, it's almost as if having to go through all those signs eliminates some of his strengths. Like, I like the fact that he gets the ball and throws it. Again, that's what Mark Burley was like. And I think if he has to shake you off, you're eliminating one of his strengths.
I think a lot of that gives the hitter an advantage. When I see a pitcher who throws 90 shake an awful lot, he doesn't have confidence in something.
Right.
Whether it's the catcher, what he's putting down, whether it's...
And we don't have confidence in something, you're going to go to your best pitch.
There you go.
Yeah.
And what is his best pitch? Probably fastball located and the changeup. Mm-hmm. Right? And I'm probably going to try and eliminate the changeup because you can't hit it. And if you do hit it, you're going to hit it weakly, so try not to hit that. So try not to swing at it. So I'm going to try and look for something probably early in for a strike. You know, I'm not going to expand because he likes to get you to chase. He wants weak contact with a little bit of the cutter if you're a right-handed hitter, a little bit of the sinker if you're left-handed. You know, it'd be very hard at bat. It'd be a frustrating at bat. It'd be one of those at bats you're on the highway on the way home going, how in the did I go 0 for 4 off that?
Yeah.
But you do consistently. And I'm with you. I think maybe they might want to try something different. Because you can tell Danny looks to me like, now he may not want to say this out loud, that he is carrying that to his at-bats.
Given all the arms they've run through this year and all the learning he's had to do on the fly, I just cut the guy a break. I really do.
Yeah, or maybe Danny's not a very good hitter. I don't know. I think we're in the middle of that. Is he or isn't he?
That's
sooner or later, Jeff, he's going to have to start hitting.
Yeah, I'm sure their analytics and their swing paths and all that, the swing path analysis and all that good stuff that we don't have access to.
Well, somebody did say to put him in the three spot, so they think highly enough of him to do that.
Yeah. I mean, we know the organization's all in on him. That's not going to change regardless of what
happens. Well, they're all in on him defensively.
But to me it's becoming an issue, and I am a believer in that. You know, you can do whatever you want this season. This is a weird season. We've already said we're going to see a bunch of stuff. Danny's smart enough that he would understand if Caleb Joseph ended up catching Hyunjin Ryu. He's smart enough to understand
what's
going on.
Maybe he would be happy about it. I mean, he wouldn't come out and say it, but maybe he would be.
What'd you think of the kid last night? Sixto Sanchez. Oh, my God.
I think it's easy.
That's what I thought. I hate to say this. That's what I thought Nate Pearson was.
I was thinking the same thing when I was watching how the changeup complements the heater and vice versa, and then he can sprinkle in
the
slider.
He's got a little bit of attitude, too.
He knows he's good. Yeah. And the way he can locate in to a right-handed hitter, when you can do that, when you throw that hard, and then you can expand with the slider, you're getting them looking in here because you got to respect 99. You can go away with the slider and you can add in that changeup that's a little too hard sometimes I think if he's throwing to left-handers and I'm facing him, he'd do me a favor by throwing the 90-mile-an-hour changeup. So that might be something he needs to work on, don't overuse it kind of thing. But, oh, it's something.
We should mention, by the way, we're talking about Danny Jansen. He is one of the 2020 Clemente Award nominees for the Blue Jays, which goes to, it's of
nobody's
course named
arguing
after,
that.
After Roberto Clemente.
Yeah.
And it's for humanitarian work.
Yeah.
And, you know, anybody who knows Danny Jansen knows that he's been very...
I personally...
He's very, yeah. very much involved in Jay's care.
I think Danny needs to give himself a chance at the plate. Use his yeah. lower half. It's real simple. He's almost eliminated his lower half because of how wide he is. He's not a hands guy. He doesn't have quick enough hands just to use those. Get your lower half involved. Mm. Give yourself a chance.
The Jays are in Boston tonight. They got a 5-game series. A doubleheader tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to think part of that is because of Celtics. I would think the Celtics and Raptors playing, that would that have something to do with the doubleheader going tomorrow with the scheduling instead of today? I don't know. Whatever the reason is.
Mm.
They've got a doubleheader tomorrow. Ross Stripling will start one of the games. It'd be interesting to see.
Yeah. To so, see you know, Stripling. Word is he might have been tipping his fastball.
Yes.
They might be working on that a little.
Right. And so that'll be intriguing. 5 games against the Red Sox. Meanwhile, the New York Yankees losers last night, and the Jays are now a game back of the Yankees. I'm telling you, I do not want to hear anybody talk about the Jays getting that last playoff spot. I want the Jays to take a run at having, and I'm looking at their record right now. They're 19-16. I want them to take a run at the Yankees. I want them to get past the Yankees.
Yeah, I think the schedule.
That's what I want.
Well, I think the schedule's more set up for them too right now. The way the Yankees are playing, where the Red Sox are at, where mm-hmm. the Phillies are at, I think they're more of don't beat yourself. If you play solid baseball, fundamentally sound baseball for the most part, you'll win a lot of those games. If you don't, you won't.
Yeah. And it's a 5-game series against the Red Sox. There's not much to talk about. This seems so strange, doesn't it? Like I can't remember the last time. The Sox are 12-25. I can't remember the last time I had less interest in the Boston Red Sox than I do right now. There is, other than, look, I love Xander Bogaerts. He's one of my favorite players in the game.
Yeah.
But other than that,
it's hard to believe that 2 years ago they'd won 108 games.
It's remarkable, isn't it?
In the playoffs, even World Series.
Even without Mookie.
Yeah,
without Mookie, still.
You read stuff that they're saying, and they say borderline irrelevant, laughing stock. It's hard. Now, you know, when you start hearing these kind of things and you see how the Patriots are doing and how the Red Sox have done, the Red Sox are due for one of these seasons.
Yeah.
And to do it in a 60-game season, it's the best time to do it. Now, if they're this way next year, maybe fans can talk this way.
I will say this. I would be concerned about, if I'm the Red Sox, I would be concerned about Andrew Benintendi. I got to look at guys right now and think to myself, all right, I can't get rid of everybody. Andrew Benintendi, to me, has to be one of my core players. I got to get him right. Jackie Bradley Jr., I think he is what he is.
He's a free agent. Be interesting to see if they bring him back.
It sounds like they're going to bring him back. I think they probably will, because I think he's more valuable to them than he is to anybody else. Because he's still going to play center field.
And they don't know if Benintendi's any good or not.
Exactly.
I think that has a lot to do with it.
And the other guy, Verdugo, I think is going to be good.
He's young. Can he do it over 162
right.
games?
Right. That is the big question. But, they're still going to have Bogaerts. They're still going to have Devers. It's not as if the cupboard is bare by any stretch of the
imagination. J.D. Martinez will be there next year. Their lineup's going to be there.
But they've also
Chris Sale will be back.
Hopefully.
Rodriguez should be back.
Hopefully for the Red Sox, at least, he'll be back. But, yeah, 5 games against the Red Sox, and I'm just – there's just nothing going on with that team. I swear to God, we were thinking, who should we get on and talk about the Red Sox? And I go, with all due respect to all the folks in Boston.
What are they going to say?
There isn't a damn thing about the Red Sox that interests me right now. I mean, you know how bad it is? I don't like the Red Sox. I never have. The two teams in baseball that I have a pathological dislike for are the Chicago Cubs and the Boston Red Sox. I don't like the ballpark. I don't like their fans. I don't even like the city.
Wow.
Same thing with Chicago. I'm that guy that doesn't like. Chicago is Winnipeg with better shopping. That's what Chicago is. So I'm not, I don't fall in love. I don't get the romance with Chicago and the Chicago Cubs.
When I played, I'd love to play for the Red Sox. I'd love to play for the Cubs.
But my
I'd
point is this.
Chicago White Sox.
My point is this. The Red Sox are so bad that I'm not taking any glee out of it. I should be happier than a pig in slop that the Red Sox are where they are. This should be one of the happiest baseball seasons of my life because the Red Sox
stink. Well, this
stink,
is perfect scenario for
Heim
Bloom.
But I feel so bad for them.
The Chris Sale injury, you know, having the surgery, has helped Heim Bloom a lot. Now he can say, okay, my best pitcher's not here. We can sort
probably
of break
didn't help
it down.
That he, probably didn't help that he traded a great player, and the guy said, yeah, I'll sign in L.A. right away. Where's the contract?
Well,
let's get it done.
Well, you saw that coming. You know, it's...
Yeah, I know. But still. Anyhow, but there you go. Five games against the Red Sox. We will have them on Sportsnet 590, the fan at Sportsnet. And, you know, you can watch them because the Celtics are going to be up 3-0 over the Raptors after tonight.
Oh.
So, no, they're not. Raptors are coming back to win. I don't know. I'm just spewing garbage at this point in time. That's why we're going to take a break. And when we come back, Joe Siddle will join us. It's Baseball Central with Blair and Barker. 590, 590. Get your texts in. I promise you we'll get to the text line. I don't lie. Sportsnet 590, the fan.
Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, the fan.
All right, you'll get to see Taijuan Walker make a second start with the Blue Jays tonight against Martin Perez of the Boston Red Sox. 7:30 first pitch. We're back to 7:30 start times in Boston. 7:30 first pitch.
You going to be able to stay up?
Sportsnet. On Sportsnet 590. Sportsnet 590, the fan. Well, that's a mean thing to say.
Well, will you be able to?
Well, 9:15 is usually my bedtime.
Yeah. Is that where you lay down and read a book?
I read a book.
Yeah,
I sit down.
What's your go-to book? Is it a baseball book? Is it a
go-to book? I'm that rare person that actually reads. I can read a bunch of books. I don't have a go. I don't read the same book.
One book that you read
over and over again? No, I don't. No, I the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
I read the Bible before I go to bed.
Okay.
Right now, I'm reading a book you would like. It's called A Certain Idea of France. It's a biography of General de Gaulle.
Very nice.
Yeah. So I like sort of war biographies and stuff.
Okay.
But I have a nice warm glass of milk. You know, and I stir it so that you don't get the skin on top, which is just the grossest thing on the planet. Nice warm glass of milk, maybe a cookie, like an arrowroot cookie. So, you know, an old man's cookie. And then I crawl into bed and I put a couple of duvets on top of me. And I turn the reading light on and I read for about 20 minutes until I nod off. And that's it. I empty the drool bucket and away we go.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's bring in Joe Siddle. How you doing, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
Barky's putting me to sleep with a story.
How about Jesus. That?
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the one thing the Jays won't do is put you to sleep. You got to watch those suckers because you never know what you're going to see.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, the talking point, obviously, after last night's game, well, the Jays won, which is great.
Yeah.
They're a game behind the Yankees, which, you know, I don't know how many of us ever saw that coming. But they're still, boy, they make some dumbass plays. They really do make some. I mean, they pull stuff out of their rear end that is beyond the pale. Is this just them? Is this just who they are right now?
I would say not. I'm going to say this is not who they are, or at least we hope this is not who they are. The problem is the calendars turn over to September here, and they're still making the same mistakes that we've seen since the beginning of the season, this shortened season. But when, you know, all mistakes aren't created equally either, though. When you try to stretch a single into a double and you get thrown on a really close play, those things do happen, so you have to eliminate those. But a lot of their errors on the base pass have just been brain locks, where, like we saw last night, you know, the Gurriel one, I thought he's trying to advance on a ball that got away from the catcher. And I heard Kev, you mentioned, I agree with you 100%, that angle isn't always the same. When you're watching on TV, you can see where the ball went.
Yeah.
Away from the catcher, but from first base, that angle, it's almost a straight line, so you can't tell if that ball went 3 or 4 feet from the catcher or 10 or 12 feet.
Very hard. Yeah.
But my thing with that is he was halfway to second. Once you commit that much, just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
But the VR stuff was just silly. I don't know if Dickerson flipped that ball in from left field. We didn't get a camera shot of it that made him think he could sneak into second base, but obviously not a wise decision. The double steal thing was just beyond me because, as we know, that, you know, catcher comes up, puts signs on, and you know that if the runner takes off from first, what we're doing with baseball, well, your responsibility at third there is to watch the baseball. And as soon as Teoscar took off, if I'm the runner on third base, you're watching closely, right, and reading that throw, and you probably know what you're going to do if he throws it down. And if you watch that replay, you know, Teoscar was slowing up. I think they were trying to entice that throw to second to try to steal a run with Rowdy up. But it was inexcusable. There's no excuse for these things. I still cannot blame coaches and managers. I mean, you know, Kev, you're a base runner. There's no base coach there telling you to do anything. You're on your own.
Yep.
You have to make good decisions, and he made a terrible decision. He wasn't prepared for what was happening in front of him.
Okay, there's some people that would say bench one of them. If you're the manager of this team, what would you do?
I'm not. I'm just not that. I think that's not my personality, Bark. I know everybody has their own style. I think if you go down that route, you better be very careful because you might not have enough players to play.
Good point.
When you go back earlier in the season and some of the things that have happened, now you're going to start setting precedents. Do you sit a guy when he gets picked off first because it was a dumb move? Do you sit a guy when he tried to stretch a single into a double, which wasn't a real smart move? Now you're starting to rate things and judge things, and I just don't think that's the way to go. Even with a young team, if it's your young 20, 22-year-old kid, you pull him aside, and probably already knows what he did wrong, but you go over it. If it's a veteran like VR, you don't need to say anything. He knows. And this crazy thing is when they acquired VR, we were talking about him, and he's the kind of guy that's pretty good on the bases. Not only does he run pretty well, but he's pretty good at taking that extra base throughout his career. Last year was very good. So this could be that first couple games jitters when you get to a team, even though you're a veteran player trying to make an impression, but hopefully he cleans it up.
Joe, is it time to get a different catcher to catch Ryu? Kirk, Joseph, one of those two. Would that help, you think?
I think it is time. I don't think it's Kirk because he hasn't been in big leagues yet. You need some experience. I think that's the issue right there, I think, is that Danny's just scuffling with Ryu and putting the fingers down. I mean, that, as a catcher, you want to get to a comfort zone where when you put a finger down and he says no, you pretty well know where he's going next. And we've seen 4 and 5 signs put down. They're just not on the same page at all. I'm at the point now is if Caleb Joseph is sitting in this taxi squad, and I haven't seen Caleb play in a long time.
Yeah.
I remember him from the Orioles, and I had a long chat with him in spring training and just about this part of the game and calling a game and pitchers and new pitchers. And, I mean, wow, he still certainly seems right up to speed on that part of the game, and I think that's the strength of his game. I know he was a pretty good receiver for the most part, too. Like, I would go that route because I was hoping at the deadline they would look for like that Kurt Suzuki type, you know, the veteran type that could guide a pitching staff because it's a short season, guys. I mean, if this is a 162-game schedule, you'd probably talk about the struggles of Danny Jansen right now, and it's only 100 at-bats, plate appearances, but it's the struggles behind the plate that there's not time for this. There is just not time for a team that is trying to get to the postseason. If they were 10 games under 500 right now, you roll with it. And you say it's a learning experience for the future. But I say right now, this is no different than sending a guy to the minor league. It's okay. It's okay to go back to the minor league sometimes. Now, I know with the abbreviated schedule, what I would do is I would activate a Caleb Joseph and keep Jansen as my backup.
Yeah.
You can let him play 2 or 3 days a week to keep trying to iron things out. But have Joseph, that kind of wily veteran that really understands that side of the game very well. And, you know, guys, in defense of Danny, I don't really know how it works in the game anymore, but I'm not so sure that with all of the information that's being thrown at him, maybe it's kind of messed him up.
Yeah.
Like it can be overload. I never experienced that as a player because we had meetings, we went over the hitters and with my pitcher, and we had a game plan and we tried to execute the game plan. But, you know, I've never seen Reese McGuire. I've never seen a catcher look at a wristband more than he does.
Yeah.
And for a long time.
Yeah, now Ryu's been really good. You can say that. You know, it doesn't happen all the time. Could a Joseph catch up enough? Say, you know, he's got probably 4 or 5 more starts. Is it fair to a Ryu to do that to him? Because he has had really good starts.
He has, but you know what? That, he's so good. I think he could adjust to anything.
Yeah.
If he's working with Danny the way he is right now, I think it can only be better. And I think Caleb would just be like hopping on a bike because that is the strength of this game.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm with both of you guys. And, you know, I made the point to Kevin. It's such a strange season, Joe. And Danny's a smart enough dude that I think he would take it the right way. You know, I think he would understand why the decision was made. And I just think, you know, Buck, and I know you've talked about this in the past, and Buck touched on it yesterday as well. You know, one of the keys to Hyunjin Ryu's success is that he's a quick worker. Like, he doesn't, you know, he doesn't fart around on the mound. And it's got to be frustrating for him to have to go through the sequences all the time. You know, because he, I mean, tell you what, I was almost at the point. Someone suggested on social media a couple of days ago, God, bring Russ Martin in. Russ Martin caught him in L.A. And I don't know what Russ is doing right now. I would imagine that Russ has probably, you know, got something to do. But it seems to me that you take one of the real strengths of Ryu's game away from him by not having a catcher on the same page with him.
Well, you do. And you remember, you guys mentioned Mark Burley. And when Deonner Navarro caught him, they were just right on the same page. And, I mean, the finger goes down, and Burley never shook off. Now, this is a different case, of course, with Ryu. But I just feel that maybe a more veteran catcher, when you sit down and talk to Ryu and you go over his game planning and understanding his sequencing, and then the most important thing is being able to adapt and adjust in game. Mm-hmm. Watching the hitter, reading swings, reading his approach, how he reacted to that cutter in. Are we coming back in there or are we going back away? And that, to me, would probably be the strength of Caleb Joseph. Again, I haven't seen him play in a while, but the reason he is there, I think, is that kind of veteran mentor right now. While he's a veteran mentor, I'm sure he's having a lot of conversations about calling the game with these guys, but you can't go back there once the game starts between the lines.
Joe, good stuff as always, my friend. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, guys. All right, guys. Have a good one.
You too. It's Joe Siddle of Blue Jays Central. They'll be on the air again tonight, the first of five between the Jays and the Boston Red Sox. That includes a doubleheader tomorrow, and the first pitch is at 4 o'clock. So, Baseball Central, spit it out, Jeff. Baseball Central will be on from 2 to 3, Writer's Block from 3 to 4.
Mm.
And then we'll go to Fenway Park for the first pitch of the doubleheader. Oh, and it is, so now we got Joe Siddle, catcher, Buck Martinez, catcher, both of them kind of agreeing that it might be time to put Caleb Joseph in a game.
Just to give guys a...
And I like your point of view. It gives Danny a break, too.
It does. And as a hitter, it gives me confidence when I see a really good pitcher shaking off a lot. It gives me confidence. He doesn't have confidence in what the catcher's putting down. I'm going to eliminate two or three of those pitches that he likes to throw and look certain location because he's having a tough time. Gives me confidence.
590-590 is the text line. You got questions, comments, rants. Ryan in Victoria says, did Charles de Gaulle ever find his Jimmy John's in London? That's the book I'm reading, the President of France.
Did he?
Yeah. No, this is the Second World War. There were no Jimmy John's in London. I just figured I'd read that out because I thought it was.
Anyway. Oh, yeah.
590-590 is the text line. God, I don't believe the stuff I have to put up with. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. All right. Baseball Central, 590-590 is the text line. Please add your name and please add your name and location. What the hell is that?
Nice ringtone.
Well, no, it's not a ringtone. You know what it is? I was actually looking at it. It's footage of Tom Seaver. I'm not kidding. Oh. See,
yeah,
Tom Seaver passed away yesterday. Tom Seaver was like, for those of us my generation, he was
Must watch.
Yeah, he was the man. I had a poster of Tom Seaver and he was with the Reds and his delivery. Tom Seaver's back leg was on the ground when he delivered.
Yeah.
He was, anyhow, Tom Seaver passing away yesterday. Just absolutely one of the very, 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 very best to pitch.
Yeah.
590 is a text line. As I mentioned, please include your name. Deco in Toronto says, De Gaulle of some people. Get it? De Gaulle? The Gaulle of some people? De Gaulle. It is a good book. It's a long sucker. There's lots of maps in it, too, but it's a good book. It's called A Certain Idea of France. You would like it.
Okay. Bring it. After you're done reading it.
Mm-hmm. I got to wonder about this. Somebody says, can someone please find a face mask that Charlie Montoya feels comfortable with? He spends far too much time adjusting the one he has. Have you noticed?
Not going to find one. They are what they are. They're, he's doing his best.
Yeah,
he's trying to manage.
I'm asking, have you the reason I read that out, the reason I read it out is I still do not, I don't understand the protocol for masks in the dugout. Now, I believe if you're a player, you have an option of whether or not to wear the mask. But it at some point, somebody's got to write about this. Because you've seen Gurriel throws it up when he's in the field. The only time you don't see Gurriel with his mask around is when he's at the plate. It's something I've thought about too. I don't know. There are some guys wear it. Some guys have it around their chin, which doesn't do any damn good.
I think the Blue Jays have done a great job with that.
Well, I'll tell you what. They're the only team that does not have a home. And knock on wood, as far as we know,
there you go.
The COVID protocols are working. That would not be a concern.
Nope.
Okay. Hey, guys, just tuned in. This is from Dave in Collingwood. Not sure, Dave. If you're doing text today. Guess what, Dave? We're doing text. Yeah. But question for you. Obviously, analytics has become important for this team.
Very.
That was clearly going to happen with this regime and these coaches. However, has this team moved from a team that uses analytics to help inform their decisions to one that uses analytics to make their decisions? That, I think, Dave, is the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
My sense is, based on some of the lineups I've seen,
for a fact,
analytics make the decision.
There you go.
In a lot of cases. In-game, I don't know. In-game, I don't know. But when it comes to the lineup being set, well, I'll tell you, last year, we were sitting in Charlie's office before a game, and I can't remember what sparked the conversation, but there was something different with the lineup. And Charlie came out and said, well, it's because our analysis shows the swing path, and I can't remember the hitter, but it was a thing where the swing path matched up with the pitch path, if
you
want to call it.
We've been talking about him all day. That's why they hit Danny Jansen third.
And Charlie said, it's not just a left-right thing anymore.
Nope.
It's not just batting averages against lefties versus batting averages against righties. So that would indicate to me I would put it this way. I don't think Charlie Montoya or any major league manager would roll into the office and say, you know what I got to do today just to shake things up? I'm going to hit Danny Jansen third. I cannot imagine that happening.
No.
There have been managers that will pull a lineup out of a hat when a team is slumping. I've seen that happen.
Mm.
The late, great Jim Fregosi, when his Phillies were slumping one year, had the writers take turns making out a lineup for a series.
Rick Sweet, a manager in AAA, let the players make the lineup.
I've heard that before, too.
Yeah.
He'd pick a player
every other day to make out the lineup.
Did you ever do it?
Yeah.
Did you win? Would you have Barker hitting third, fourth, fifth? No?
No. Yeah, well,
you were the first name in the lineup card.
I hit the same place all the time. I third or fifth. I didn't like fourth because I let off a lot.
Yeah, that's not a good
leadoff hitter. I want to take pitches.
Yeah,
I want to get it down, get it singing.
But that, so Dave, to your point, yes, there are decisions. Not every decision is made by analytics, but frankly, there are decisions made that are made as a result of analytics. And I admit, I don't know about in-game decisions.
Yeah, that's the interesting conversation. Is the in-game
like?
Who do you put in to pinch hit? When do you take the pitcher out?
That's what I'm thinking.
Those kind of things.
I think analytics have a role in when you – obviously they – but is this analytics? If my numbers show me that the third time through Chase Anderson gets his you-know-what lit up.
Yeah.
Is that really analytics? No, that's just numbers. Like, analytics to me are more complicated than that. They're the – again, the swing path. Does this stuff play against this guy's swing path? And I don't know if you can get that information in game. If I'm sitting there and I'm making a call to the bullpen, am I sitting there going, I don't want that reliever in because his, I don't want his the pitch path to match up with.
Well, I would assume they'd played it out in their head already, knowing that
they scripted out.
Yeah, put up a couple of scenarios in their on a piece of paper.
There you go. No, that is a good.
That's a great question.
That is a very good question.
Yeah.
This question, guys, do you think baseball will consider keeping expanded playoffs beyond this year? Keeps fans.
I hope so.
Yeah, I think they will.
Yeah.
I really believe that nothing that we've seen this year won't be around in some form next year. The extra inning thing, that's going to be around next year. You can bet on that. That's going to be around next year.
The extra inning rule.
The extra inning rule. I like that rule. I didn't want to like it, but
I do like it.
But I do like it. It has the strategy involved has proven to be a little more complicated than I thought it would be. So that's fine. I'm okay with that.
Gives us something to talk about too.
Right.
Do you bunt or don't you?
Exactly. So I'm okay with that. I think that sticks around. I do not know about roster size. That is going to be a work in progress. Clearly the Players Association, the more players you can have in the active roster, the better. I don't know how owners feel about that. That's something that'll have to be negotiated. But expanded playoffs, I've got to think in some form they will be around. I'm not certain how I feel about the three-game series. I understand baseball as a sport plays its games in series, and it has always struck some people as odd that you would go to a one-game sudden-death playoff after you've spent all year playing three- or four-game series.
That might take away from the regular season. When there is 162 games, there's got to be a reason why you want to win your division.
Yes. Yes. That would be that
would
be my.
You could get bumped out in a three-game series for a team that gets hot down the stretch.
Yeah, I do like the idea. I do like the idea of letting the team with the best record pick who they want to play. I do like that. I do like that. I like having that. And you could dress that up. You could turn it into a TV production. I like that idea. There's a fascinating element to
that's
that.
That's a gimmick. Is it?
Yeah.
Either a good team or you're not.
I think it would be.
The expanded roster thing, I don't like that. I was the 26th man on a roster. That's most good teams, the 26th guy, is he a big leaguer? Isn't he? Do you really want him on your team? What purpose does he serve? Is that a third? Is that room for a third catcher? Is that the guy that's running in the 10th
what
inning? Is he really a big leaguer?
What I do like is, and I would like to see baseball continue to do it, I like the idea. It's always struck me as odd that as part of my 25-man roster for today's game, I've got three guys who – pitchers I'm not going to use because I got tomorrow's starter. He's not going to be used.
Yeah.
I got the guy who started the day before. He's not going to be used. And I probably got a guy who started 2 days before that. So he's not going to be
used. You're saying change the roster every day.
Yeah.
Take a guy off that's on it.
If there are, to me, it's silly to carry three or four pitchers that aren't.
But then you're talking about service time for veteran guys.
That is true.
You know, is that going to roll? Probably not. Union's not going to like that. So
there would have to be a way of ensuring that you still get service time for the days you're not on. And I understand that. But I would like it's the only sport where you put guys you carry guys every day who aren't going to play in the game, and that has never made sense to me.
Me as a player, I always, the ultimate goal was to be on the 25-man roster. 28-man roster, I'd love to be a player during that.
Yeah. Stephen Thorold wants to weigh in, says he thinks a 140-game season would be better than 162.
Money,
but Steve, I'm with you.
It's
140
sense.
Game, more days off,
owners
throwing a doubleheader here and there.
Money. They're going to lose money doing that.
Yeah. But throwing a doubleheader here and there, you're right. You're gonna lose money doing it.
Owners will never do that.
Well, there would have to be a trade-off
playoffs.
With the players.
Expanded
have to
playoffs.
Be, or non-guaranteed contracts or something like that, which the players
come
never.
On.
No, but
come
I'm saying
on,
there would have to be for the owners to agree to that, for the owners to agree to 20 less games, which will work out to what? That'll work out to 11 less home games. If you're averaging 40,000 fans a night in those 11, that's a lot of money. For the owners to agree to that, you're going to have to make a major concession in some ground.
Both sides agreeing on that, because one side's going to lose more money than the other side.
But theoretically, fewer games is better. And I do like the seven-inning doubleheader. I've never had a problem with the seven-inning doubleheader.
Yeah, I do too. 18 innings in one day, it's just too much.
Yeah.
It's never a good thing for either side, for either team.
Jeff and Kevin, why didn't everyone get in Mike Trout's case when he hit a three-run homer against the Mariners and the Angels are winning 10-1 at that point? Marion Scarborough.
Mike Trout.
Well, Fernando Tatis, so I think that's what she's...
Fernando Tatis is not Mike Trout.
Anyhow, Mary, your point is well made.
Yeah.
He clearly, Mike Trout, has not read the Jace Tingler Unwritten Rules of Baseball book.
Those are gone. 3-0 is 0-0 in baseball now because of the shift. Mm-hmm. The shift has ruined everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. The shift,
for a fact, it has.
No, you tried to sneak that through.
I did. Yeah, you weren't paying attention.
At 252. See, nah, 252.20. Yeah, you tried. That's like a news drop. That's like the news drop at 4 o'clock Friday afternoon when nobody's paying attention. Oh, by the way, we just fired our entire front office at 5:45 on a Friday. That's not fair.
It's a fact.
No,
there's nothing you can say about it. It's a fact.
I did not expect you to drop the whole shift argument when there's a minute and a half left in the show. That's just not fair. You don't give me a chance to defend
myself. Yeah, it's nothing like seeing a third baseman catching a fly ball down the right field line.
Hit it the other way.
Yeah.
Hit it the other way.
Oh, yeah.
Hit the ball the other way.
Sorry, Ted Williams.
Now you want the shift out of the game, too.
It's never going to happen. How dare you tell me where I can put my defense, but stop complaining about three true outcomes. Stop complaining about it.
Have I ever complained about it?
Yes, you have.
No,
games are too long. They're not fun to watch. Yeah, it's the, you know, pitchers have every advantage known to man in baseball.
The only thing I complain about.
Spin rates, elevating the fastball, strike zones.
Listen, the only.
The shift.
The only thing I complain about is trips to the mound. And this is perfect.
Trips to the mound.
Okay, let me finish. What if you had Danny Jansen and Hyunjin Ryu wired up? Now, so you wouldn't have to go through the whole BS with signs. Fastball. No, curve. Okay.
It doesn't happen enough in a game that it matters anyway. It just breaks his rhythm. Doesn't happen enough that all of a sudden we're turning the station because he has to walk out there 1.5 times a game. Come on, Jeff.
I think that they should hook up the catcher and the pitcher so they wouldn't have to go through the whole nonsense. No one's going to hear it. But so they can say each other. So in other words,
hurry up and get the games over with. Yeah. How dare you be on the same page? How dare you take 10
Call
seconds?
Call the cutter, jackass. Call the cutter.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for somebody to do that with no fans in the stand. I'm just waiting for a pitcher to yell cutter and throw it. Change and throw it. Just see what happens.
Well, if you locate it, they can't hit it anyway. Well,
how screwed up would a hitter be if all of a sudden you as a pitcher started telling them what was coming?
No, I'd turn around
just once and then changed it up a bit. Oh, didn't mean the change.
Thank you. Step in the bucket. Get the head out.
We'll be back tomorrow. Blue Jays baseball tonight. First pitch is at 7:30. Writer's block is next.